Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, hey, welcome to another episode of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. I'm Lauren Campbell. I am your host of Locked On Red Sox. I also cover all things Boston sports for Boston.com. I've been in this wild and crazy Boston media scene now for almost 7 years. Born and raised in the Boston area, so I love being able to talk baseball with you from a fan's perspective, a reporter's perspective, and somebody who's just missing baseball. But it is Monday. It is a beautiful fall Monday here in Boston. The sun is shining. Certainly does not feel like the cold winter weather that unfortunately is approaching, but we do have a ton to get to today. Over the weekend, we had a lot of Red Sox news come out between JD Martinez opting in, the Red Sox declining offers on some pitchers, and extending qualifying offers to other pitchers. So we have a ton to get to, and let's just get right into it. So the biggest news to come out of the weekend was JD Martinez deciding to opt into the last year of his deal. He'll make $19.35 million, and he will be locked up for the 2022 season. This is the third straight year that Martinez decided to not opt out of his contract, and I have been saying this for the last few weeks now that I really did not think he was going to opt out. There are a lot of other people in the baseball world who seem to be surprised by the decision. I think it was a smart move. I think that JD is not 26, 27 years old. He's not trying to come after a longer term contract, and I think that it's a safe bet. You're making almost $20 million guaranteed. You know what you're getting with the Red Sox. You love Alex Cora. You love Rafael Devers. And it was just a smart move for Martinez. I think that if he did the free agent market, I really don't think he would have gotten more than what he was guaranteed to make in 2022 with Boston. And it provides the Red Sox with the DH, a potential outfielder when they do interleague play, or if there's an injury, he provides them a little bit of versatility. But this also probably closes the door on the Red Sox potentially re-signing Kyle Schwarber. As we talked about last week in Locked On Red Sox, Kyle Schwarber declined his $11.5 million player option, which was not surprising in the least bit. But because now JD Martinez is taking up the 19 plus mil, it's going to be a little harder to sign Schwarber, not just because of the money as well, but also because it becomes a question of where do you put Schwarber, not just in the lineup, but in this field. There have been a few projections as to what it would take to sign Schwarber. MLB Trade Rumors has him at 4 years, $70 million. Fangraphs has him at 4 years, $60 million. And the New York Post has him at 5 years, $80 million. So it sounds like he'd probably want in the 4 year range, which I don't think is an issue. I think, you know, he's 28 years old. He's trying to get one more bigger contract before he kind of goes into his 30s and maybe doesn't become as valuable as he is right now. Especially, he's coming off a career year. He absolutely deserves a pay raise. But at the end of the day, I don't think the Red Sox can afford him if it's going to be upwards of 60 mil. I just think that as much as Schwarber really fit in here and loved the city of Boston, really embraced the whole Kyle from Waltham thing, and he came in clutch with the ALCS Grand Slams, really came in clutch for the Red Sox over time, and really became a fan favorite in the 41 games he played. But it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to bring him back, especially because the Red Sox desperately need pitching. They do not need another DH. They do not need another outfielder. And Chaim Bloom seemed pretty content with Bobby Dalbec and Tristan Casas at first base, and seemed pretty content with the future at that corner bag there. So I don't think bringing him back to play first base or platoon with Dalbec for first base is really the smartest idea. And I really loved Schwarber while he was here. I thought he was great. He was so much fun. You obviously know the kind of player he is when you traded for him. He's always been a power hitter, but I think it's just time to unfortunately kind of let him go. He's going to end up signing somewhere. I think MLB Trade Rumors had him going to either the Rockies or the Blue Jays or back to the Nationals. Going back to the Nationals certainly would be interesting. The Blue Jays, I think that he certainly would bolster that Blue Jays offense, and the Blue Jays offense already is scary. And you add Kyle Schwarber to the mix, oh baby, that's going to be really interesting if he goes there. But if he goes to, you know, to the Rockies or the Nationals, the Red Sox obviously won't see them the way they see the Blue Jays. New York Post predicted he would go to the Red Sox for 5 years, $80 million. Fangraphs did not have him go anywhere. They had no prediction for a team, but they're the ones who put him at 4 years, $60 million. So it's certainly really exciting to see what will happen. It's going to be really interesting to see where he ends up going, what his deal deal ends up looking like, but it probably will be a while before we even get a decision on Schwarber, even if it's the Red Sox or another team. There's a ton of uncertainty surrounding MLB with the new CBA, so it might be a while, and not just with Schwarber, but other big name free agents. But now we kind of have an idea about what it might take to get him to sign, whether it's with the Red Sox or the Blue Jays, the Rockies, wherever. But at the end of the day, I think because JD Martinez decided to not opt out of his deal, decided not to test the free agent market and see if he could get over 20 mil, I think that basically ends Schwarber's time here in Boston. And as I said, there's a lot of uncertainty surrounding what MLB could look like, if there's going to be a work stoppage. So it was really smart for JD to opt in. You know, you have the guaranteed contract with the Red Sox. You know what you're making. You don't have to wonder about testing the free agent market, maybe not getting signed because other teams will be cautious about what's ahead, the future of the sport, etc., etc. So to just take the 1935 mil, lock yourself up for a team that you've played with for the last 4 or 5 seasons, it just made too much sense for JD to opt in, because then you have the guaranteed money, you have the guaranteed contract right there. You don't have to worry about what if. You can worry about that after the 2022 season when your contract is up and figure it out from there. But for now, you lock him up. He's locked up now, and he doesn't have to worry about the future of his team, his contract, because he knows exactly what he's gonna get. He's back with a team that he's played with, that he's familiar with. And it was just an easy, to me, in my mind, that was just the easy, safe decision for him to make. I also have no idea what a DH market will look like. Again, with the uncertainty, there may be a universal DH adopted that happens next season, which certainly would make him more valuable to the National League. However, if you look back at previous contracts, especially in the last year, like Nelson Cruz, you wonder if he'd end up getting a lot less than the 19 mil because of how the market looked last year, it's not this year, but there's too many question marks surrounding if there will be a universal DH, what the DH market will look like, what the CBA will look like. So smart move on JD Martinez, safe move, and just, you know what you get with him. So I think it's a win-win for the Red Sox. Like I said, unfortunately, it probably closes the door on Schwarber. That is definitely an unfortunate thing, but the Red Sox really need to focus on pitching, and now they know what they can really work with, because now they know about JD Martinez's decision. So they can go into the offseason and just really focus on pitching and bolstering that part of their team so they can be competitive in 2022 and maybe even make a deep playoff run. Coming up in our second segment, we still have a ton to get to regarding E-Rod, Martin Perez, Garrett Richards, and Christian Vasquez. So we still have a lot to touch on between them and the future of the Red Sox and just how this impacts them going forward. But first, this episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for all the good stuff. Honestly, I think I'm being called out by DirecTV right now. But I want to give you a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. You can watch all of your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place, and that means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required and content varies by package. Welcome back to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. So Sunday was a big day in MLB, a big day for the Red Sox as well. As we just touched on, JD decided to opt into his final year of his deal. And with that also came the Red Sox declining Garrett Richards' $10 million option and Martin Perez's option as well. So the Red Sox bought Garrett Richards out for $1.5 million. He finished the 2021 season with a 7-8 record, 4.87 ERA, and he made 22 starts before he got demoted to the bullpen. And when he went to the bullpen, he amassed a 3.42 ERA in 18 relief outings, and he got one out in the ALDS, but he was replaced on the roster by Matt Barnes because he got injured. Now, Garrett Richards was very valuable out of the bullpen after he was demoted to a relief pitcher, and he was good as a starter in the beginning of the season, but then you take MLB's sticky stuff crackdown and he was like a totally different pitcher. But he did find a groove out of the bullpen and he was pretty valuable to the Red Sox at times. However, I think $10 million is just a little too much for somebody of Garrett Richards' caliber for him to be a reliever, the Red Sox really need to focus and zero in on pitching this offseason. And Garrett Richards isn't a name that you're dying to bring back. Obviously, the Red Sox still can bring him back if the money is right there, if he wants to take a significant pay cut. And he might. He's 33 years old. He already said he's not a Hall of Famer. He's probably not looking for anything super long term. But it really comes down to the Red Sox, you know, really needing to focus on what they need. There were a lot of obvious issues with the bullpen, even with the starters. The starters really struggled last year for the Red Sox. So it's not really all that surprising that they decided to decline Richards' option and just bought him out instead. I wouldn't really be all that surprised if they decided to not bring him back altogether, if they didn't even want to re-sign him, and that's fine. There are areas of need on this team, and he's just somebody who is not maybe a high priority just because of what they saw last year, and there's other relievers on the market, there's other pitchers on the market, and the Red Sox really need to shift their focus to those guys. Another option the Red Sox declined was Martin Perez, and this was the first kind of news to break out on Sunday. This really comes as no surprise. I know that Red Sox Nation really loves Martin Perez just because of the person he is, but when you look at his stats, he's completely mediocre. He really did not add anything to this team this year. He was really mediocre too over the first few months of the season before he was eventually bumped to the bullpen. He made 22 starts for Boston this season, 4.77 ERA, and when he moved to the bullpen, his stats were eerily similar. He had a 4.50 ERA. His strikeout rate was 18.8%. He also pitched 3 postseason innings for the Red Sox, and those were awful. Awful, awful, awful. He allowed 6 hits, 4 walks, 4 earned runs, and he did not tally a strikeout. That is a problem if you're going to be a postseason pitcher, not just on the Red Sox, but in MLB as a whole. And I'd be very surprised if a contending team or a potential contending team picked up Perez. Maybe it's just a matter of him thriving elsewhere or a National League team. I don't know. Maybe he won't even get signed. Maybe he'll just kind of be like the next Rick Porcello, where he just kind of fell off the face of the earth and hasn't pitched since 2020, but that's a whole other topic for another day. But it is not in the least bit surprising that Martin Perez had his option declined. I think it was the right move. I know that I have spoken about Perez negatively a lot on this podcast, and I think the Red Sox finally see, as much as I do not like them re-signing him last season, at the end of the day, he still showed glimpses of what he could be, and he just couldn't replicate any of that in this past season. So he now is a free agent. He'll test the free agent market. And much like Richards, the Red Sox obviously still could re-sign him. I don't think it's worth it. I think they know what he is. I think they've seen enough, and I think they're just ready to completely move on from him. But it was not all bad in the Red Sox news on Sunday. Christian Vasquez's $7 million option was picked up by the Red Sox. And even though his offense kind of dropped in 2021, this was not a surprise. I think it'd be more surprising if they decided to not accept the option. Vasquez has been in the Red Sox organization, if you can even believe this, for 14 seasons. He's going into his 15th season with Boston. He was drafted in 2008 by the Red Sox. And this season, he batted .258. His slugging percentage was .352. He had 6 home runs, 23 doubles, 1 triple, 49 RBI, and 51 runs. And while those numbers certainly aren't eye-popping, I think it's become almost the norm where catchers aren't really offensive powerhouses. You just kind of know that they're going to call a good game. They're good behind the plate. They have chemistry with their pitchers. They're a good clubhouse guy. And that's exactly what Vasquez is. He has shown these glimpses of offensive power. He's come in clutch before, but I don't think anyone's expecting Christian Vasquez here to, you know, hit 20 home runs a season, drive in 100 runs. But I think it was smart for the Red Sox to pick up his option. I think it would be dumb to let him go. You know, like I said with JD Martinez, Christian Vasquez is a good clubhouse guy. Alex Cora really likes him. He gets along with the other players. These players just have really good chemistry, the ones who have been around for a long time. So there was really no surprise there. I think that picking up Vasquez's option was the smart thing to do. Like I said, you know what you get with him. You're not expecting crazy numbers from him. You just want him to go out there, call a good game, maybe throw a runner or two out at second or third, pick a runner off every now and then. And that's what he does. So there's no surprise there. Happy to have him back for at least another year. And then the biggest question mark surrounding the Red Sox now that JD Martinez has made his decision is Erod. So Erod was extended a qualifying offer, and that is for $18.4 million. He has until November 17th at 5 p.m. to make a decision, so it's going to be a little while before we know what's going to happen there. If he accepts the qualifying offer, he's locked up for the 2022 season, and if he declines, he automatically becomes becomes a free agent. He earned $8.3 million in 2021, so it certainly will give him a nice hefty pay raise. It'll give him a $10.1 million pay increase. And if he decides to decline, the Red Sox will receive draft pick compensation. Or if he declines and signs with another organization. If I'm E-Rod, I am accepting the qualifying offer. Not only are you bumping your pay up $10.1 mil, you get to stay with a competitive team and try to rebuild yourself. He had a really down 2021, and he obviously missed all of 2020 due to myocarditis from a bout with COVID-19. And in 2019, he had 19 wins. He almost had 20 wins on the last start of the season, but the Red Sox could not get it together for him. But I think E-Rod making $18.4 mil, that may be a bit of an overpay. You can't do anything about it when it's a qualifying offer. But I think it'd be smart for him to accept it, pitch really well, you know, pitch yourself into a hefty contract for the 2023 season. He's still young, too. If he pitches a really strong 2022, he could really pitch himself into a nice contract, maybe a longer term, more money. However, I think E-Rod, what we saw in 2021 was basically what he's going to be. I think he is who he is. I think he's more of a 13-14 win kind of guy, which still is very valuable to any team out there. But I think that if you're going to raise your pay 10 mil after a really mediocre season, not your best season out there, you'd be wise to accept it. Maybe his agent thinks he can get more on the free market. Who knows? It's going to be a really interesting next couple of weeks or next 10 days to see what really happens with E-Rod, what he decides to do. And again, I think this is going to really have an impact on how the Red Sox decide to go about the rest of their offseason, how they want to figure out pitching. So it's going to be really interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun too. I think that regardless of E-Rod's decision, the Red Sox will not be done. They have a ton to look at and bolster their bullpen and their starting pitching. But like I said, I don't think E-Rod is a consistent 19 win pitcher. I think he is what he is. He's a third or fourth guy who can really add something to your rotation 100%. I just think it would be smart for him to accept the qualifying offer, go out there, have a complete offseason, have a complete spring training, and pitch your best and pitch yourself into a long-term big money contract. Coming up in our third and final segment of the Locked On Red Sox podcast, I will end this show on a positive note because that's what we do around here. But first, I need to tell you about Built Bar because I love Thanksgiving. All the good food, all the good treats, there's so many of them. But sometimes I just want a yummy dessert that isn't packed with calories and sugar. So now it's the perfect time for Built Bars because Built Bar is your new holiday dessert. Feast on something delicious and feel good about it. Low calorie, low carb, low fat, high protein, and some of them are covered in 100% real chocolate. It's a great option for when you're hungry, and if Thanksgiving isn't coming soon enough, go for a Built Bar or two. There's nothing like a Built Bar Black Friday, so mark your calendar because Black Friday will be a huge event with all sorts of surprises. Go to built.com right now and use promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every day. Usually I'll give you an unpopular opinion here, but because of my positive note, I didn't want to overshadow it with something potentially negative. So Monday, November 8th would have been Jerry Remy's 69th birthday. He unfortunately passed away last week at the age of 68 due to cancer. But today, Monday, would have been his birthday. And I saw on Twitter this morning just how many more memories were flooding in of him. A lot more people were sharing good times, sharing funny videos from his time in the booth, and it was just very heartwarming to see. Obviously, his death is still very new and it's still very raw, so to see people continue to remember and love Jerry was really heartwarming to wake up to this morning. He had a beautiful, beautiful service last week that was attended by hundreds of people. Don Rosillo flew in from San Diego and was able to attend the service. Players past and present, OB was there, of course. So just to kind of see his legacy continue to live on, all of us at Nesson also got number 2 pins that represent Jerry Remy, so we are so excited to continue to carry on his memory. He's somebody who never will be forgotten in the baseball world, in the Nesson world. So happy birthday to Jerry. But with that, we will end this show there. Thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Be sure to find me on Twitter at lalalalauren, 3 laws, Lauren with 4 R's, and the Locked On Red Sox Twitter account at LO_Red Sox. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to Locked On Red Sox so you never miss an episode the moment it drops. Be sure to check out all the other amazing MLB shows across the Locked On Network. Locked On Braves, Locked On Yankees, Locked On A's. Everyone does an incredible job to bring you the best coverage we can, so please go check them out. And now that you've made Locked On Red Sox your first listen, please go make Locked On MLB your second listen with Paul Francis Sullivan, but please call him Sully. He'll bring you his unique perspective on the major leagues both past and present. It's free and available on all platforms. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.